Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
Great, good morning, everyone. My Bicardo Jewelers watch tells me it's 10:10 a.m. and change here in the great Northeast. This beautiful Monday, October 20, 2025, this is the Bob Cadaro Show. I am he, and it's a big day to fight for America, defend our values, and with the help of our man John Basiliga and Eastern Roofing Systems in Jessup, to honor the brave who have made us and kept us free. People like the veterans we've lost this year, but celebrate today, thanks to John. Like Robert Ludwikowski, South Scranton, James Benny, Muzik, Walter Soa, Shaytown, Nanticoke, John Zavada, Wilkes-Barre, Albert Liberatore, Scranton, and Carmen Sandy Sanicero Dunmore. So with history, our great founding fathers, and the incomparable Constitution of the United States of America as our guides, let us continue today's battle. Gaveling back to order this meeting of the Club for Common Sense, and promising you that because of our commitment to common sense for the balance of this morning, we will provide a sanctuary of sanity for all of you who are scratching your heads with the idiots protesting and the fools in the media trying to pretend that these protests have a legitimate basis. Wow. Scary people. Scary people. I'm sorry. Somebody said, Bob, notice the Obama alumni group, including our mayor, Cognetti, running for Congress. She started right after Bresnahan won, plotting since then. And lying about it, too, by the way. She hired the ridiculous Wendy Wilson then, right out of the Cartwright office, Congressman Cartwright's office, left-wing lunatic, to be her spokesperson for the congressional campaign. And then she lied to the people of Scranton and everywhere else, saying, I just decided in August or September to run. And the reason she made this ridiculous announcement was she was afraid somebody like Bridget Kaczorowski or Mayor Lombardo from Pittston would run, and she wanted to head them off. And so now she's running for re-election mayor of Scranton and running for U.S. Congress. I have literally never seen anything like it. The arrogance is off the charts, especially when you've done such a horrible job in my city, Scranton. Unreal. Well, We've got a different subject, and we're going to go to that. And it is our man, John Perillo. And it's Monday, so guess what? It's Monday Musings with John Perillo. And without further ado, here he is, our man, John Perillo. How are you, John?
Hi, Bob. Every time I get a hold of you, you're in a lather, aren't you?
Maybe it's you.
Yeah, okay. I entirely think that's possible. Now, maybe even likely.
John and I were together. It seems like a year ago and a moment ago at the same time. We were together with our family members out in Colorado Springs having a blast. I don't think you got me wound up that day.
Well, you were wound up on your own. I was just, you know.
I think you were wound up. Anyway.
I did want to get into something. Bob gave me an assignment, and he asked me to look into data centers, because you're all looking at the possibility of having one built in your area. And so I did some research. And
they're
looking at
multiple data centers for here.
Multiple, yes. And I looked at some findings from a McKinsey study, and I actually have a pretty negative opinion of McKinsey. I worked with them directly, but they do hire some really exceptionally smart people. And when they publish a report, they footnote it, so which I find very helpful because you can actually check their work and check the numbers. And this assignment that Bob gave me is not a discussion on the wisdom of AI, although as a philosopher, I'd find that more interesting. But sometimes you have to come down from the philosophical cloud and get practical, and here's my attempt to do that. And so feel free to get another cup of coffee so I don't put you to sleep. And just so you know, after I retired from the Navy, I had a second career as a pretty senior executive in a startup, and then later as a company officer for a Fortune 5 company and one of its companies, who will remain nameless because I don't want their stock to tank. But I only bring that up because I've actually done this kind of analysis in the past. So, you know, hopefully this is helpful. And the McKinsey analysis comes from the work that was done in Virginia, where they built a couple of data centers similar to what you're looking at doing. And the numbers come from the North Virginia Technology Council and a joint legislative audit. And I bring that up because you should always ask where the numbers come from any analysis that you look from, right? So just get in the habit of doing that, because there's generally some bias in numbers, even the numbers that I quote you. So understanding that the numbers come from a group promoting technology and so just knowing that as we get into that, you might find that helpful. And according to this analysis, the state of Virginia generated something like $31 billion in what they call in this report, quote, supported economic output from their data centers. And I was not able to find precisely what all that means, but some of that includes supporting taxes, construction, and ongoing operations. And that's not chump change. Your state's annual budget is around $50 billion by comparison. So the construction of the data center by itself does generate a lot of jobs. And the typical data center is around a quarter million square feet, 250,000 square feet, and it takes something like 1,500 people to build, because you need site developers, equipment operators, construction workers, steel workers, and all those are, you know, you guys know, are generally high-paying jobs that don't require college degrees. You know, once the center is built, those large data centers operations typically have about 50 full-time jobs, and those jobs would be like facility managers, engineers, technicians, and maintenance jobs. And for every one of those 50 jobs, they estimate there's another 3.5 ongoing jobs around it, and they involve things like improving and maintaining the surrounding infrastructure, which brings the total number of jobs for one of those centers to about 175 people in steady state operations, right? In the Virginia example, there were other businesses that added jobs, including things like building the new substations and transmission lines, and there was a claim in the study that it led to increased real estate building prices, although I thought that claim was a little bit difficult to prove because, you know, lots of real estate costs were going up at the time, but it could be a factor for you to consider.
But and also in terms of real estate, when that's gone, and it's gone to this purpose, meaning that that acreage that you put a data center, nothing else can be there. that's going to produce jobs.
We're going to get to that, because that's a very important point, right? So there's a theory also that the existence of these technology centers is going to increase innovation in other areas, like microgeneration, right? We've talked about these micronuclear plants that I think are the future, but that's just me, right? Fuel centers, solar, things like that. And I know you have some natural geothermic opportunities out there that the centers like this might want to exploit. So that might be another consideration, because temperature control is a big issue for data centers, because computers generate a lot of heat. And that's part of the reason why they consume so much power. But with those data, so those are kind of the positives, if you will. And then there's some downsides, right? So like I said, they consume huge amounts of power. So if your current infrastructure is strained, you're going to need to build more of that capacity to make that work. And I don't know what your local carbon laws are, but that could be a factor, just something to look into. And again, in your case, you can offset some of that with your geothermal capabilities. But no matter which direction you go, that infrastructure has to be built before you build the data center, right? They also use a lot of water, mostly for cooling. And I suspect that eventually they'll figure out how to keep reusing that water. But for now, the technology is to pump that water through. And you have far more water out there than we do. But there's a project in Nevada that actually got canceled because of that. So if you're pulling the water from the ground, your groundwater supplies, that might affect other things. So again, just something to think about. We out here have some human resource constraints out that you might not have, right? It's hard to find people to build anything. So if you build this, you can use what's called tilt-up concrete construction. The panels are cast remotely, and the construction of the actual structure goes pretty quickly. But the electrical work and the install of the servers requires highly skilled people, and so you need to look at the possibility of resource bottlenecks. And there have been other data center projects that have been started and not completed. So whomever is negotiating on behalf of your region needs to look carefully at what they're agreeing to ensure that, is it actually going to happen, or that whatever you invest as a region will be at least recouped if the project doesn't happen. And that's a process of negotiation that you guys need to understand, right? And in economics and in business, and this is allude back to what Bob was talking about earlier, if you want to be successful, you never really look at costs by themselves. Yeah, you look at costs, but what you're really looking at are what's called opportunity costs. So it's not what the data center costs that matters. There might be a reasonable rate of return from that investment. It's what are the alternative uses of the same land and the same dollars, would that be better for your region? And so since you never have unlimited money, or at least I never did, you need to consider what other investment might get crowded out because you're upgrading infrastructure for a data center project, and whether that investment that you don't do because of the data center might yield a better return. And in every investment in anything that anybody talks about, you need to keep that in mind. Now, McKinsey asked a couple of good questions that I think you should consider as well. One of them was, what does this look like in 5 to 10 years, right? And Bob mentioned that earlier, right? I think you guys were looking at one point at building some infrastructure to do, fiber optics, right? So it seems like AI and data centers will be around and continue to grow. But, a quick story. There was a data storage company that I won't name, but they came up with a really smart idea of putting their servers in containers in the ocean as a way to cool them. And it worked, and it was far more economical than building cooling systems. But because of that strategy, when one of the servers went kaput, they just disconnected and left it there. And I don't know what the long-term plan is for data centers, but out here, we're coming to the end life of some wind farms. And what to do with those towers and those blades is a topic of some debate, right? Where will this center be when all the people who signed the deal are retired? Just something to keep in mind. How does it fit strategically with your region? And again, that's not for me to decide, but your location makes you an ideal logistics hub, for instance. And yes, I'm a logistics dork, so I look at things that way. But as always, remember, it's not the cost, it's the opportunity cost. And maybe you generate more jobs with that investment. And, then what does a partnership look like? Most places get these data centers with tax incentives. What are you foregoing in tax revenue in exchange for the surge in temporary jobs, right? And a much smaller number of permanent jobs, by the way. It may be a great thing, but you might want, they may want to invest in technical schools or roads or something like that. But you need to ask that question in its entirety and get real and specific answers. Not it'll be great for the region. Don't never buy that as an answer.
Let me ask a question, because you say 5 years down the road. I was sent by some of our great listeners something. There's a group called the Sustainable Computing Initiative.com. And it says there's this IO optimization pioneered by the U.S. government, Intel agencies. And 95, they say, they make these claims. 95% of what a computer and data center does is I.O. If you reduce or optimize this I.O., every application can run 1,000 to 1,000,000 times faster. You get quantum speed on current hardware. And they're claiming every application needs 1/1,000th the hardware and 1/1,000th the power. And that a current data center could do the work of 1,000 new ones. Thus, you don't need more data centers. They're saying that there's a smarter way out of this. And I prefaced with the audience, and as we discussed last Monday, they're gonna overbuild and overinvest, guaranteed. And so we're gonna you could have a data center that is bypassed technologically with something like this group is talking about, or a data center that just doesn't need to be this way. So I really question it at this stage.
Yeah, I think Bob brings up a couple of as usual, like five really really important points in that one little bit. So what if you can imagine a world to simplify this to something that's something you'd understand really easily. If you have an iPhone, you know how difficult it is to communicate or to send pictures to somebody who has a Android device, right? They're barely compatible. And part of the reason why that is because the operating systems, the iOSs that Bob was referring to, are set up to be not entirely compatible because, they want to sell their iOS. Right? So if you had a single iOS, then those systems would talk to each other much more easily, and you data flows more freely, blah blah blah, etc. All the things that Bob just said. The question becomes, who's iOS? Right. So if you're, the country made an investment in Intel, and I don't really want to get into the philosophy around companies investing in businesses, but so does that mean that becomes the new standard? And if you're an Apple guy or an Apple executive, does that happen? Because you're going to take that to court and you're going to say, hey, wait a second, that's a monopoly that makes my operating system less effective, right? So all those things that Bob's talking about are things that we don't know. And as Bob alluded to, we're building with the assumption that the future looks like X when we really don't know what X is. Right. And that happens all the time. I mean, I get that because you're making a bet on what that future looks like.
Well, John, all this stuff, we have to stop being surprised that we're surprised.
Yeah. Well, one of the things, and I I think maybe to wrap this up, because I think Bob's onto something, exactly where I wanted to go with this, which is I would automatically dismiss anyone who told me not to worry about those concerns or to trust them. It'll be fine. Right. And by the way, I learned that lesson the hard way as a senior guy in multiple companies. And once when I got more senior, once somebody said that to me, I never listened to them again.
Yeah.
Right. You need to ask tough questions and expect to receive very specific answers. Right. And it's absolutely not my role to make a recommendation here. And that's not what I do anyway. But like I said earlier, I did this for a long time and I was pretty good at it. I made a couple of bucks doing it. And I will tell you that the lessons I learned from different campuses, of the School of Hard Knocks and the one that Bob went to, but I will tell you that you can't audit any of those classes or get a gift grade in that school, and you either get it right or you're unemployed.
Yeah.
Right. So what I'm telling you is that's how I would look at this problem as a senior executive in a company.
And,
right?
And
I want to know all the
John,
details.
The fascinating thing is that even if somebody big like Oracle came in. Okay, that's a plus. And you say, well, all right, they're going to be state-of-the-art, whatever. But once they don't have use for it anymore, they can afford to just shut it down, and you have this land wasted, this building wasted, all of the power and water wasted. It's a conundrum. It really is. Here's another question, because we're way over time-wise. But, John, let us say that we get several data centers. I'm not seeing what the, it doesn't put us give us a leg up against any other area in the country in terms of using it, because the data centers are used nationally and internationally, right?
Right.
So like, we've got to move to Scranton and Northeast Pennsylvania because they've got data centers there. Nobody's going to say that.
That is very true. And you'll recall that for a while there was this big move to take the call centers and offshore them. That's part of the reason why it's very difficult sometimes to understand when you're trying to make a phone call to get your refrigerator repaired, because the call center isn't in the United States. It's in the most low-cost place you can do it, which is typically not the United States. So, again, that's another thing for Bob that Bob brings up that I think you just things to think about. And when the question I would ask to get to the answer to Bob's question is, what's your life cycle solution? What happens in 10 or 20 years if that goes away? And just so you know, this is why I dumped all this to become a stand-up philosopher and work with horses, because, it hurt my brain to think about this stuff every day.
Great stuff. Well, John, we appreciate it so much. I'm happy you delved into this a little bit off your normal topic, but we appreciate it very much. It's a discussion we're going to continue having here in Northeast PA, that's for sure.
Yes, you got it. You guys have a great week. Just remember, always ask the tough questions and never take "I know the answer" for the answer. That's not the answer. Dig into it. And I guess, hope you guys have a great week, and I look forward to talking to you again.
Thank you. John Perillo, Monday Musings. AI centers, data centers, are they worth it? We'll be back. Our veterans this hour and every hour, this day and every day, brought to you by our friend John Basaliga. And today we feature just one of his great companies, Eastern Roofing Systems, Jessup. Leading roofing company for institutional, industrial, and commercial purposes in the eastern United States. They bring all that expertise to you because they're headquartered in Jessup. They could do your home. They could do your small building. Eastern Roofing Systems. John Zavada. He was 92. He was from Wilkes-Barre. We lost him September 29th. Born in Wilkes-Barre. He grew up in the Miners Mills section of that great city. Attended St. Clair Elementary School and graduated from James M. Coughlin High School. He then enlisted in the United States Army and was stationed overseas during the Korean War. After his honorable discharge, he began working for Berman Optical. He then went to Parrish Optical. But in 1971, he decided to go off on his own and opened County Optical. The business was successful for 40 years until he retired in 2011. Like so many of our vets, he loved hunting and fishing, bowling. Faithful member of St. Peter and Paul Parish of Plains, and a member of the Georgetown American Legion. Preceded in death tragically by his daughter, Debbie. But he survived by his son, John. Four sisters, four grandchildren, seven great-grandchildren. John Zavada. Walter Soa. He died September 29th at the age of 100. Lifelong resident of Shaytown, Nanticoke. Eight brothers and sisters. Together, they learned how to thrive amid the Great Depression. He graduated from Newport High School in 1942. Joined the U.S. Army Air Force, serving as a radar repairman. During his training, he was stationed all around the U.S., New York City, Philadelphia, Georgia, earning the rank of Staff Sergeant. His last post was on Tinian Island in the South Pacific, where the Enola Gay hastened the end of the war from his base. After the war, he received his degree in electrical engineering from Penn State, serving in multiple offices of his Theta Chi fraternity. He began his career at Okanite Company, but then he found his true calling as an engineering professor at Penn State Wilkes-Barre. He taught there for 31 years including being honored as Outstanding Teacher of the Year at Penn State in 1973. One of his proudest moments was publishing two books in his profession and having one translated into Chinese. 50 years he took his family to their place at North Lake, Sweet Valley. Lifelong member of Holy Trinity St. Faustina Church and a member of the Holy Name Society, the usher. In his retirement, he was a daily communicant. Member of the Nanticoke Lions Club, Chamber of Commerce, the Planning Commission, Mill Memorial Library Board of Directors. He was an avid golfer and gardener. Predeceased by the love of his life, Marie, with whom he shared 72 years of marriage. He's survived by his sister, Hetty. Survived by his three children, seven grandchildren, two great-grandchildren, 100-year-old Walter Soa. Our great veterans brought to you by John Basiliga and Eastern Roofing Systems. The Rolling Stones. Murph says they had the number one hit this date, 1973, with that song, Angie. Bob Cadaro back with you on the eponymous program. Let's go to Charles from Scout Township. He's calling about data centers. How are you, Charles?
Hey, good, Bob. Thanks for taking my call. Now, just when you were saying something about them, you hope they don't pack up and leave. And it brought back my memory. Remember Corning Glass?
Yep.
They came down. They bought that plant.
Perfect example. Yep.
Yeah, up in East Benton. And I had friends, fellow employees I worked with were making good money, good benefits. But they were in the paper, on the news, they were going to pay a lot more money, more benefits. I had guys that quit jobs that were there like 10, 12 years to go there. After they got their money from the state, I think they were only there for 2 years, and boom, they were gone. And it left a lot of people out of work.
They really never got going because the technology was old and overbuilt. And by the time they were done, and that could happen with these data centers very easily. There's too much money chasing data centers because that's where everybody thinks things are heading. I don't know. I don't see it, but.
But I mean, my understanding, they got millions of dollars from the state of Pennsylvania, Corning did.
Oh, sure.
To open up that business. And that place went for years until the last couple of years, some glass companies up there now, Crystal Glass. But that plant, that used to be, was it Grumman Body?
Yep.
And that place went on. And then after they shut down, Corning shut down, that place was just empty.
We tried to turn it into a movie studio. It was absolutely perfect for it. And then the fools who followed us and the county commissioner just nixed it. They weren't smart enough to understand. But because we could have the movie industry here, it was ideal.
Oh, yeah, good location. But yeah. One other thing, and on a different subject, when you're just talking, somebody's talking about the price of gas, and I was listening. I just came into Carbondale, and gas up there at the gas stations is $2.92.
Oh, we got under $3. Nice. And remember, if you get under $3 in Pennsylvania, it's the second highest gas tax in the country. That's saying a lot. That's saying a lot. Well, I may have to go to Carbondale next time I get gas.
Oh, yeah, $2.92 up at Weiss's Market and the convenience store across from Weiss's Market.
Love it.
$2.92. But if you shop at Weiss's, you use the card, you get so many points. How do you get so many points? Like 100, every 100 points, you get 10 cents off a gallon at their place there. So that's a good deal.
Interesting, yeah. Well, thank you, Charles.
Can I say one more thing about that stupid march? Where do they think Trump? What is he? Where do they think he's calling? It's just like they call him a Nazi, which I don't see any prison camps where people being starved and tortured and put in ovens. And then when he doesn't go around with a crown on, he's not with a throne. He does have gestures, though, court gestures. They call them Democrats, but they act like a bunch of clowns. But I can't get over that. What are these people marching for? I don't understand.
We're in the midst of a government shutdown by the people who are saying he's a king. It's insane. I said there's no kingdom in the history of the planet that was ever shut down by the minority. They're proving themselves wrong with their, they're just dumb people. It's just sad. It's really crazy.
And you see what that Jeffries, he was calling that wonderful press secretary, Leavitt, calling her stupid and sick in the head and all that. What about Biden's press secretaries, right? They go, I'll circle back on that. And the other one had a binder, right? I mean,
They're from Bizarro World. There's no doubt about it, Charles. Thank you, my friend.
You will. Have a good day, Bob. God bless.
All right, man. Thank you. Jason on the blower. How are you, Jason?
Hello, sir. I want to thank you firsthand for replying to my text so fastly. And I have, I was just typing up a summary of what my father was. He was the greatest father ever. I only had one father, of course. And he was 4 years Navy, 27 years National Guard. When he was in the National Guard, he was a chef, food prep, all kitchen duties. When he was in the Navy, he fixed and repaired the radio antennas and radio equipment. And growing up, he always loved outdoors, camping, hunting, fishing, et cetera, all the outdoor life stuff. And him raising me, and he didn't raise me alone. I still have my mother, who's a great mother, and taught me how to cook without a recipe book.
Well, Jason, you've got to get us. I told you in response, you got to email me this information. We'll do a special tribute to him. Okay?
Absolutely. One other something, if I can, if I have any more time.
We're head up against the hard break very quickly. We're going to do all this again. You make sure you get me the information. Then there's no time shortage because we're out of time now. Get me all the information, Jason, and we will honor your dad. I look forward to it. All right?
All right. Thank you again for getting back to me. Thank you. A wonderful week.
All right, my man. Time for the Bloomberg Money Minute because my Bacardo Jewelers watch tells me it's 10:50 on the nose. A new band out of Boston, Murph says, they debuted on the charts this date, 1973. Aerosmith with their hit Dream On. Bob Cadaro back with you on the program. And we don't want to forget Mother Teresa for today, October 20th. Let me get this situated on my phone, because it's always poignant, always important message from Mother Teresa. She said, if we were truly humble, nothing would change us, neither praise nor discouragement. If someone were to criticize us, we would not feel discouraged. If someone would praise us, we also would not feel proud. Mother Teresa for today. Thank you, Mary Regina. And Mary Regina, this is just a little fun fact. Our mutual friend, Lacey Terenzio, she's got a store called Terenzio's Closet. She operates out of her house in Dunmore. And there's a show coming out, American Love Story, with RFK Jr. on FX on Friday. And Lacey Terenzio sold the Manolo Blahnik loafers to FS Network, and they're going to put it in the show. That's fascinating. Oh, that's really neat. So Terenzio's Closet on national TV Friday. Love that. Love that stuff. A lot of you commenting on these data centers. And a lot of you commenting on the insanity of these No Kings protests. Well, I told you that this Capellini, a guy I get a kick out of, I like him, but he's a left-wing loon. And he's running for Democrat. He's the Gahan candidate. Remember what a goof Gahan is with the anti-Trump and the lies and all this. Well, here's our friend Capellini at the No Kings protest. Just being there proves his idiocy, but here he is carrying on at the protest.
He will 100% be victorious. This disaster that's running this country
Just a genius. Wow. Get him some genius pills. My Bacardo Jewelers watch tells me it's 11 o'clock and change. That means it's time for the news. It's the Bob Cadaro Show. We'll be back after this.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience, and it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA-certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had, and the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day, and everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All the Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-Bone at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-Bone.